welcome to April, Mojovia, and you too, Dave.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we're in the swing of things now.
I think so, or at least the spring of things.
Yes, very good.
Oh, man, it's kicking off Q2 here for 2024.
Yep.
I don't know. Things have been good, man.
Q1 was strong. I mean, some great episodes. We've got lots of good feedback. And now the contest season is starting. So we're going to be seeing a lot of our modeling friends over the next few months. And man, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's true, man. We took a couple of chances, I guess, yep, in 111 and 112. And they paid off. Really, really love both of those, man. That was a good time.
Well, not only do you and I love them, it turns out that the listeners really enjoy both of those. And since they're on subjects that aren't mainstream, but not what everybody thinks of as tanks and airplanes and ships, I was pleased at how much people enjoyed them.
I was too, and we even got some comments back from our guests. That was really good.
Yes.
Well, Dave, it's been a busy busy week.
Yes.
A week in a few days, and we're going to kick this off by talking about where we've been.
We've been north of the border.
We have. A week ago, we were about 5 hours into our arrival in Hamilton, Ontario for HeritageCon 16.
Yep.
That's where we've been, folks, and we had an absolute blast.
Oh, man. To say that it was a blast undersells it. As good as last year was, and last year was fantastic, I didn't think it could possibly get better, but yet it managed to.
Well, the Heritage team, or the HeritageCon team from the Hamilton chapter, took care of us again.
Yes.
Had us a spot to set up, got to do a little meet and greet and record a couple of segments, but the show was really good. What'd you think?
In some respects, the show was better than last year. Last year, they blew out the numbers with over 1,000 models. This year, there were a little less. There were 750 some odd, which is a little less. And the crowd was slightly smaller, not a huge amount smaller, but just a little bit smaller. It made the experience of the contest itself a little more pleasant because you didn't feel like a sardine in a can. I got to walk up and down almost all the aisles and see almost all the models, which last year there was no hope of doing. In addition, the same amount of vendors were there, but you could get up to the vendors' tables to look with a little bit of leisure at what they had. And it turns out if you look with leisure, it pays off for you sometimes.
Yeah, it does. That's right. And, you know, with the current exchange rate, folks coming from our side of the border can do pretty well at HeritageCon. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and the temptation is to think that way, too.
And to act that way.
There you go. Yes, you and I certainly both broke our wallets, but not, I mean, for what we got, we didn't break them bad, but still, we stimulated the Canadian economy.
We did. And I tell you, to back up to some of the other details, it was just great. The trip up, I assume it's because we'd done it once before and we knew what we were getting into.
Yep.
Man, the road trip just flew by, even though it was right at 9 hours.
Yep, it did.
We got a good early start, but we really had no difficulty all the way up. Pretty smooth sailing.
Yep.
We combined the adding you to the rental car to eating breakfast to getting gas all in one stop. And that took like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes tops.
Yep.
And we just kept on rolling, man. And it was a good time.
Yeah. The longest delay we had was at the border just because there was a little bit of a crowd.
And then a card reader went down in one of the lines we were adjacent yes, to.
So. That's right.
Well, I gotta talk about our accommodations. Chris Wallace, model airplane maker, took care of the accommodations for us. Man, I told a bunch of people while we were there, had we been any closer, we'd be sleeping under airplane wings inside the museum. We could have been at the top end of the neighborhood, up closer to that main road in front of the museum, but that is the only amount of closer we could have gotten.
Yeah. And like you said, if it had been July, we could have walked to the museum.
In less than 20 minutes, we could have walked to the museum. So
Chris deserves a shout out. He did a solid, he did his research, and he came up with a Airbnb that really, really worked for us and made the trip a ton more pleasant.
Well, and in working for us, we can talk about that a little bit. Our recurring guest, Steve Husted, came up with his modeling buddy, Mark Copeland.
Yeah.
And Darren Cook and Tim Holland from the Model Geeks had come up, and we kind of all descended onto the museum there all about the same time.
Yep.
That was fun.
We could not have arranged all of us arriving at the – we all showed up at the museum on Saturday within 30 minutes of each other, and everybody was traveling from way different points.
Well, one of the funny things was as we were rolling up, and we were still a little ways outside of Hamilton, and we were chatting with Tim and Darren on either phone text or Facebook Messenger. I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. And they got up there way early for some reason, and I suggested they go over to Toronto to
Wings and Wheels.
And the first note back was basically why we're going to be at the largest hobby shop in Canada tomorrow. And somehow I guess I got them to or they got on their own, looked up the shop on the internet and realized how much time they had and how close it was from Hamilton to Toronto. And they ended up going.
Yep.
And I think they enjoyed that. That's a good shop. We should do that sometime.
It is a really good shop. And I went 25 years ago or more. And if you had a little time to kill before the museum opened, a run over to Toronto to Wings and Wheels was definitely the thing to do. Meanwhile, our other friends and guests, Steve and Mark, because their trip was really long, they stopped overnight outside of Detroit, and they ended up going to Michigan Toy Soldier on their way to Hamilton.
Ended up.
Yes.
I think that was planned ahead of time, Dave.
Oh, yes, it was. But, so they hit it and did a little pre-show damage as well.
Well, and then the accommodations with you and I and Chris and Steve Husted and Mark Copeland. And then Darren and Tim came by both nights. Evan McCallum came by.
Chris Siebert came by the first night.
So it was just a good time, man. And I tell you, if folks look at the distance that Steve and Mark came.
Yes.
And put a compass at that radius and put the other end on Hamilton, drew a circle. You're talking about pretty much most of the southeastern United States.
Yeah. They committed. But I'll tell you, I've talked to both of them, and neither one of them regrets it. That's for sure. Even though they had to drive through some weather on the way there, whereas we had beautiful weather all the way up. They had a challenge.
Yeah, we had good weather up and back. That was a blessing. That's probably not going to happen every time, assuming we do this again.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. Assuming. Wild horses couldn't keep me away from this.
That's where we've been, folks. And where we're going is hopefully the AMPS International Convention.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. That's the 11th through the 13th or 14th. I can't remember. But South Bend, Indiana, folks, if you're in a commutable distance to the AMPS International Convention, get on the AMPS website, which is ampsarmor.org.
Yes.
And get all the details for that show. And that's coming up quick, man.
I know.
The 11th or 12th.
You and I need to sit down and do some planning.
That's right. So hopefully we're going to be there. I know there's a couple of the other pods going to be there. And there's a meet and greet at a local restaurant and meal that's getting set up. That's always a good time. We did that down in Texas.
Yeah.
And hopefully those plans come together and we'll keep people updated on what we're doing as far as AMPS is concerned. Other than that, that's about the only opportunity we got in the near term.
I know.
folks, we got two episodes in the month of April, episode 113 and 114. Looking forward to both of these. Episode 113 is going to be a Mike and Dave spectacular. We've had a lot of guests at first quarter of this year, and it's just going to be me and you, buddy.
I'm looking forward to it. We got a lot to talk, a heck of a lot to talk about.
We do. So just to give a little information on that, we are looking at a somewhat extended benchtop halftime report. Maybe we'll talk about a couple of your recent finishes.
Yep.
And my Moosaroo Cup build.
Yep.
In a little more detail than I've let on up till HeritageCon anyway.
Right.
And then as a main topic, we're going to be discussing the ins and outs and the ups and downs of model kit instructions.
Instructions? What are those?
Why the heck would I do it that way?
Yeah, exactly.
Because this makes much more sense.
Yep.
Well, that's 113, Dave. 114, Steve Husted's going to be coming back again, and we're going to be talking about his HeritageCon 16 experience, because that's the first time those guys have been up there.
Yeah, and let's face it, he made a little bit of an impression.
I think so. And as a main topic for that one, Steve is going to be talking with us about small-scale armor. Now, he's mostly known for his aircraft dioramas and his fabulous single subject builds, but Steve kicks out some pretty cool small scale armor dios as well. We're going to scratch into that a little bit.
Well, and he has really, in the last couple of years, really started, along with the boom in 72nd scale armor, he has really started to, just started, like a lot of people, to get into these really, really nice kits that are being released. And so it'll be good to talk to him about it, because he had a couple of dioramas up there in Hamilton that were pretty awesome.
Model shows aside, because we've had lots of fun at HeritageCon.
Yes.
But that's not all that's been going on with Plastic Model Mojo. The Plastic Model Dojo has been kicking.
Yes, it has. As of today, we're at 4,075 members. The number of people joining is accelerating, and we're really pleased to see that. In addition, the more important thing is not just people joining, but people posting. And we're getting everything from Mr. McGovern posting more of his Monster and related Rat Fink, etc. kits. We're getting a lot of Real Space posting because of the last episode on Real Space. We're getting construction equipment posting, so people building bulldozers and stuff like that, so civilian equipment, aircraft plus armor plus lots of photographs from shows. Mr. Husted did us a big solid by taking a ton of photographs up at HeritageCon and then posting them to the dojo in groups. If you go to the dojo and you go and look at all of his posts, you'll get a really, really good flavor for the quality of the models at HeritageCon, which I haven't set up to this point, were spectacular, were everything that you would see at an IPMS USA National. Just stunningly good work.
So folks, if you haven't, join the Plastic Model Dojo, our Facebook group.
Please do.
And post. And
yes.
Get into the conversations and learn something new or teach us something new. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. There isn't a post where I don't have some question for the modeler regarding the quality of the kit they're building, the technique that they're doing for like an HE-219 camouflage. There was a beautiful HE-219 build posted recently. It's great conversation, and the people on there are all really, really good people, and the conversations are very positive and friendly and sharing, and that's what Mike and I had hoped it would be.
Well, Dave, we got hopefully two good episodes for folks.
Oh, I think we do. April is going to continue our winning streak. I guarantee that.
Well, I hope so, man. I'm pretty confident as well.
Yes, I'm looking forward to them.
Well, Dave, I'll see you at episode 113, man.
Looking forward to it. You take care.